Welcome to the Next Level Human Podcast. As a human, you have a job to do. In fact, you have four jobs: to earn and manage money, to attain and maintain health and fitness, to build and sustain personal relationships, to find meaning and make a difference. None of these jobs are taught in school, and that is what this podcast is designed to do: to educate us all on living our most fulfilled lives through the mastery of these four jobs. I'm your host, Dr. Jade Tita, and I believe we are here living this life for three reasons and three reasons only: to learn, to teach, and to love. In this podcast, I will be learning, teaching, and loving right along with you. I'm grateful to have your company. Here's to our next level. All right, everybody, welcome to today's show. Today we're going to be talking some next level human stuff. We're going to get into some psychology and really talk about the emotional process and emotional maturity and how we progress as humans through what I call the four stages of emotional maturity, and how base level humans and culture level humans and next level humans sort of manage these sort of states and these emotional states. Now, the first thing we need to kind of cover with this is this idea. There's an idea that persists sort of in the New Age meditative community and intuitive communities that feeling is always best, right? So there's this idea of follow your heart, gut level hunches, right? Intuition, and people referring to themselves as empaths and things like that. Now, as you know, I'm a very evidence-based guy. And so one of the things that I want to just address right off the bat is some of the strengths and weaknesses of this sort of idea that is perpetuated, that feelings are most important. We humans have feelings for a reason, and we have logic for a reason. And in a sense, our software, each and every one of us, we are all intuitive, and we are all empathic. So this idea when people say, I'm an empath, just so we're all clear, there's no sort of psychological test that I am aware of that allows you to say you're an empath. Everybody feels, and just because you think you feel more than other people does not necessarily mean you're any more of an empath than anyone else. This idea is an important one, and the reason is it's not to put people in their place, or not to, say you're not one if you think you're one. It's just to essentially say we humans are all empathic, right? And so one of the things that I would like us to do as we start this discussion about emotions is try our best to put aside some of these sort of magical thinking type beliefs that some people have magical empathic powers and some people have magical intuitive powers. The real aspect of this is, as humans, our human software that we come with, we all have intuition. We all have the ability to be empathic and pick up feelings from other people. So let's go through this really quickly. One of the things that happens when we are children is we have mirror neurons in our brains that essentially look out into the world and read other people's facial expressions and tone of voice and all the other things, and can pick up what they're feeling. And so an example of how this first happens when we are young is, let's say I'm sitting there playing with a Tonka truck toy, a little model toy, and some other boy comes and grabs it from me, and I get sad and start crying, and he is looking at me and seeing my tone of voice and my emotional expression, and his mirror neurons start to fire, and he starts feeling like I feel. He can sense and feel what I am feeling by reading my tone of voice and my facial expressions and my body language. This is empathy, in a sense. He begins to feel what I am feeling, or can at least, sort of empathize with me, can get a sense of what I might be feeling. It may not be exact, but it's not going to feel good to most normally functioning human brains to see some other person suffer. And so what oftentimes happens is that kid will immediately give back that Tonka truck and not want to do that again. Because in a sense, if everything's functioning normally, when he hurts me, he hurts himself in a sense. And so this idea that we can pick up on other people's emotions is absolutely true, and that all humans can do this. Now, in a sense, there are people who might be a little bit more sensitive, and even that's probably the wrong word, but maybe even a little bit more expressive. For example, one person steals the Tonka truck from me, gives it back, and doesn't really express any emotion or communicate about it, or doesn't, you know, cry himself or herself, and just sort of gives the thing back. Maybe someone else, you can actually see some of those same facial expressions. They actually are more expressive in their sort of feeling and what I'm feeling. Now, does that mean they're more empathic or less empathic? Probably not. It just means that they are expressing, they're being a little bit more expressive. But this idea that we can actually sort out and say one person is more empathic than the other, I'm not so sure about. I just want to have this discussion to essentially say, one, we're all empathic. So as we have this discussion, we all have this ability. Two, saying someone is less empathic or more empathic is not really that accurate, not really conducive to the discussion we're going to have. Now, the same thing with intuition. Intuition, like empathy, all of us have. And intuition, like empathy, is not some magic power that some people have and other people don't. We all have it. And intuition is simply the merging of all the different senses into, quote, a sixth sense. So we see a thing, we hear a thing, we, have experiences over time, and we gather knowledge. And then out of this experience, knowledge plus sensing, we are able to have intuition about certain things. And intuition is something that must come from experience. So they've actually studied this. Intuition is almost impossible to develop based on our understanding of intuition without some kind of experience. The example I always use with intuition is a pilot. Pilots go through this very structured checks and balances system every time they take off a plane. It is the same thing over and over and over again. It becomes rote memory in a sense. And so they also do thousands and thousands of takeoffs and landings throughout their career. And so they have a lot of experience of what happens during rough wind conditions and what happens in low wind conditions and what happens in one kind of plane versus another kind of plane and what happens when there's, you know, rough weather like thunderstorms and what happens on a clear sunny day. They develop all of this kind of stuff. They get a feel for the airplane. So yes, they're touching and sensing and smelling and all these kind of things, but they have this sixth intuitive sense, which is why when you have pilots react to dangerous situations, oftentimes they will say they're working off intuition because something did not feel right. And that comes from a huge amount of experience and actual repetition. So intuition is, again, not magical. It comes out of experience. So we kind of want to have this discussion about empathy and intuition first. And the reason I wanted to have that discussion first is because I don't want us to be in this place where it's sort of like people are like, well, I'm empathetic and that means a thing, or I'm intuitive and that means a thing. We are all empathetic. We are all intuitive. Now, this comes with our software in a sense. Now, as we begin to pay more attention and things like that, perhaps some people can refine these senses a little bit further, listening to these things and realizing what they're about. For example, in certain domains, I can be pretty intuitive when I'm in the weight room. I could be pretty intuitive with nutrition. But people who have never done that can't be intuitive about watching someone and seeing the way they're doing their bench form and thinking, hey, they may get a tear in their pec because of the way their form is, or looking at a bowl of, you know, mixed food and being able to, you know, intuitively predict the calories in that. You need repetitions in those realms to be intuitive in those realms. It's important because as we talk about emotional maturity, we want to put some of these things aside and realize that empathy and intuition are working throughout all of these sort of stages. And as we begin to, you know, sort of develop our emotional sophistication as humans, and that's what we want to do as next level humans, we will be able to maybe refine these senses further, realizing, though, that everyone is doing these things sort of all the time. Now, let's talk about, since we started this discussion, we sort of talked about the idea of children, right? So stage one, and let's just go through the stages really quick. And these are my stages based on my interpretation of, you know, some of the research I've read in this area, and also the way I just frame things together. So to me, stage one is emotional volatility. Stage two is emotional suppression. Stage three is emotional feeling. And stage four, in the final stage, is emotional control. And when I look at these different emotional states, I do see them as sort of a hierarchy, that we start out as children emotionally volatile. We go into sort of this emotional suppression stage as we become teenagers and things like that. And then as we grow into adults, we learn to manage our emotions better and feel our emotions, become more emotionally integrous, and slowly begin to develop some degree of emotional control. Of course, we can still have times, even as adults, where we slip back into base level emotional volatility, right? But being aware of this sort of stage can help us manage this, because emotions can hijack us pretty heavily. When we are in our emotional brain, we cannot be in our logical brain. Feeling brain and logical brain are somewhat different, but recruit some of the same sort of networks and things like that. And so when you are overly emotional, you're not thinking clearly. This is why we have crimes of passion and things like that, where people get so angry that they can't think clearly, and they do things that are sometimes out of character, because they've never, in my mind, made these sort of emotional maturation levels or done these things in this hierarchical way that we're going to talk about. So let's talk about children, and let's talk about this emotional volatility state. Now, it's not that adults can't have emotional volatility. They absolutely do. It's just that this is most associated with base level childlike behavior. Now, whenever I say this, people get a little bit upset because they don't like thinking of children as base level. But remember, if you follow the Next Level Human work, you've learned that base level is simply our lizard brain protective selves. Base level behavior in individuals, and remember, none of us are next level humans. We are all operating in a certain percentage of base level, culture level, and next level. Ideally, as we mature, we get more and more of our percent of behavior in the next level realm. But rest assured, we all go base level at times. I know I do. You do. We all are culture level at times. We're all operating in these three spheres all of the time. But when we are children, we are mostly base level. Base level, as a reminder, base level behaviors are all about safety and certainty. It's all about the seeking of me. It's all about me. The world revolves around me. And if you get stuck in base level behaviors, you tend to be pretty combative, pretty paranoid. This is a drive mainly for power. And the reason it's a drive mainly for power is, think about it. If your major psychological need is safety and certainty, the best way to get safety and certainty is to have all of the power. And so this is why oftentimes base level people will be the people searching mainly for power. It's not that next level humans don't have power or even seek power. It's just that that's not their dominant way of coming at the world. So base level types, it's all about me. And they don't regulate their emotions well. This is the child emotional state. And this is where people are ruled by the feeling brain. When you are afraid, when you are uncertain and afraid, you tend to act in a very emotional way. Just think about this. We've all had this thing where something happens. I mean, I remember I was in the Grand Canyon, and I hiked way too far, did not have enough water, and I was going into sort of heat stroke, and was getting disoriented and everything else. And I remember getting so panicked that I couldn't even think clearly. And luckily, someone stopped and was trying to talk to me, and I couldn't even collect my thoughts to think what was going on. Part of this was the physiological heat stroke. Part of it is that I was in this fight or flight mode and in survival mode, and I wasn't thinking logically. I wasn't thinking, logically. And this is what happens. And so this is when you get hijacked by your emotions, when you're operating from fear and uncertainty, which is the major emotional driver of a base level human is fear. That's why they try to avoid it at all costs by seeking certainty and stability. There's no fear when you're certain. There's no fear when you're in a stable situation. And obviously, if you have all the power, you're not going to feel as readily fearful, right? This is where people are very moody. It's wearing the heart on the sleeve. It's when you see temper tantrums, whether in kids, and we've all seen adult temper tantrums. I've certainly thrown them. I bet you have at times. Adult temper tantrums are the same thing, and ego-based outbursts. These are all sort of these emotional volatility. Now, you might say, well, Jade, what's the purpose of this? If you're saying base-level behavior is not always bad, what's the purpose of this? Well, the purpose of this is to get attention, isn't it? It's to focus attention back onto me. Wouldn't this make sense if you were a child to basically be like, mom, dad, I need help. Me, me, me. This is the child state. Emotional volatility is all about me. And when you see someone who's overly emotionally volatile, this is sort of that victim sort of mentality in a sense. It's basically look at me, take care of me. My needs supersede your needs. I need safety and stability, even if it hurts potentially you, right? This is the child sort of state. And so what we want to do is look at ourselves and say, how much of this behavior do we have? How much behavior do we bring up these emotional things whenever we have some difficulty with people? How much do we use our emotions to get our way? We all know people like this and we see it within ourselves. How much do we, you know, do one of the three fight or fight, flight, or sort of freeze sort of base level behaviors? You know, do we get combative and try to come over the top with power as a base level emotional volatility state? Do we just run, you know, sort of run away? Or do we sort of freeze and just shut up and fold our arms and pout, right? These are the fight, flight, and freeze sort of sympathetic, sort of fear-driven sort of emotional responses you can see within your children. Oftentimes, if you really want to see these, you'll see these all the time with children. You'll see them go through all of these different tactics to try to get their way. And oftentimes, you'll see it in adults as well. And these are oftentimes the adults that we, that people who are a little bit more mature in this, that we all don't necessarily like. We don't even like it in ourselves, right? And so we really want to work on this emotional volatility. So the first stage of this to get over this is the awareness of this. Am I using my emotions to grab all of the attention? Am I using my emotions to grab power? Obviously, right? The victim likes to stay the victim because everyone tends to pay attention to the victim. And so this is partly what happens here. And so this emotional volatility place is something that we need to catch in ourselves when it happens, and we need to think of a better way to do this. Now, as we progress, we start to learn that other people don't think very highly of us if we are always emotionally volatile. As kids, and we even get a lot of feedback, like stop crying, don't whine like a baby, and all this kind of stuff. And from that point, we start to move into emotional suppression. Part of the reason we do this as well is because now we're no longer dealing with parent figures and stuff like that. We're now dealing with peers. And so the emotional suppression starts to occur right around 6 years old up through sort of our teenage years. And this is the teenager type attitude. It's like this, I'm too cool for school type of thing. Nothing bothers me. It's also very judgmental. It judges other people for expressing their emotions, and it tries to not have any emotions and, you know, try to be this sort of very not feeling sort of thing, you know, just basically put a smirk on your face, you know, fold your arms and scowl at people, right? It's also very much about this emotional suppression. It's not just sometimes about like, I'm not going to talk to you, which really kind of borders on some of the emotional volatility we talked about before, that freeze sort of method. But it's also about seeking popularity. So this is where people become emotional chameleons. Something bothers them. They don't want to show it. They are fearful. They don't show it. They're anxious on the inside, but you would never know they're feeling anxious on the outside. So it's a very chameleon-like emotional state. And a lot of people live in this state. Most people, I would say, live in this emotional suppression state for most of their lives, because most people stay in the culture level way of behaving most of the time, and most dominated by culture level. And this is about popularity. Culture level individuals, unlike base level individuals seek safety and certainty. Culture level people seek status and sort of fitting in. Base level people are all about getting power. Culture level people are all about popularity and pleasure, right? And so if we think about these P's, and we'll just go to the next level. Next level is all about purpose, right? And so in the culture level state, it is a lot of people pleasing. It's a lot of pleasure seeking. It's just wanting to feel good. It's wanting to avoid anything that feels bad. It's also being very inauthentic and buying into things like, well, boys don't cry. So if you're a boy, you better not cry, and girls don't get mad. And so if you're a girl, you better not get mad. Why? Because the culture says that. You don't see this sort of happening. And so it's also this thing where it's like girls saying, oh, I can't believe boys don't cry, but they're saying that when they don't get mad. So this is really about not having emotional integrity, right? Emotional integrity is this idea that I feel a thing and I can express that thing. Well, there's no emotional integrity here. Emotions are suppressed. We're trying to control these emotions, but they're oftentimes boiling underneath the surface. And one of the things you oftentimes have happen when you're living in an emotionally suppressed state is every once in a while, you'll have the emotional volatility explode. And so most people vacillate back and forth between this emotionally suppressed state. I'm not going to feel, I'm not going to let them see me sweat. I'm too cool for school. I'm not going to cry. I'm a guy. I'm not going to get mad. I'm a girl. I'm going to just pleasure, people please, and you know, just try to fit in, and you know, I'll judge other people for their emotions too, and nothing bothers me. And then all of a sudden, it all boils up when things go wrong, and you go back into your base level child state, and you blow up in anger, and then you embarrass yourself, and then you come back to this emotionally suppressed state again. And so this is the base level emotional volatility, and then the culture level emotional suppression state. We have got to learn to begin to get out of that. Now, as people mature, they move into what I would call the third state here, which is the emotional feeling state. And the emotional feeling state is when we start to learn. We hit rock bottom in a lot of ways. We get, you know, sort of we get our war wounds. We get our heart broken. Maybe we lose a parent or a loved one to death or grief. We start to see that there are certain people that we can trust, and that, you know, being emotionally volatile or suppressing our emotions all the time does not really get us what we want. And some of us want to start living a more authentic life. And so this is when we start to express ourselves much more. And it's funny, right? Because after a period of time, this usually happens sort of in our 20s, right? We get into our early, or sort of a late teen years, early 20s, and we start to want these very feeling relationships, and we think we're a little bit more mature. And so we try to go deep into feeling, and we can be very emotionally expressive at times, and then other times go back into emotional suppression or emotional volatility, and then come back into emotional feeling and be profusely communicative, wanting to, you know, tell everybody everything. We've all had this significant other or maybe a lover who has been just over the top, you know, burying you and all the things they feel and all the communication, and let's talk about this and let's talk about that. It can come across as overly needy at times. Of course, most people don't stay there, right? So they're in this emotional feeling state, and this is a state of that can be transitory. They can always go back into the emotional suppression and or the emotional sort of volatility. But you start to emerge into this emotional feeling, and it is a sort of the next level up. Obviously, you don't want to be controlled by your emotions and be so emotionally volatile all the time. And obviously, you don't want to be suppressing your emotions and not letting anyone know how you feel. You want to begin to understand your emotions and work with them. So this is the awareness stage. This is the stage where you're kind of saying, okay, I know I have emotions. I know they are important to, sort of feel, and I know that they're important to express, but you still have a little bit of this childlike sort of need to for it to be me, and all about my needs, and or this, you know, let's play it cool, let's not tell everything, and this emotional suppression, especially if when you share your feelings in this stage three emotional place, you don't get people who are accepting of that, or they're judging it for you, right? Can you imagine an emotionally feeling person dealing with an emotionally suppressed person who judges other people's emotions, and how, sort of wounding this can be, which can then push those people into either an emotionally volatile place or also an emotionally suppressed place. And so emotional feeling is a really interesting place. It's this transitory place where you start to become aware of the emotions. You start to express them more often. You can be overly communicative at times and overly needy at times, but emotions are now becoming more acceptable to you. You're kind of just like, these are normal. I need to begin to deal with them, but they're still largely in control, and you still oftentimes slip back into emotional volatility and emotionally suppressed states. But the first stage here to get out of this is just to simply say, I'm a human, I feel, and I feel this. And resist the temptation to go base level victim with the way you feel, or to shut it down and move no further. Here at this stage of emotional feeling, you should begin to see that emotions are instructive for us. That really emotions are a lot like road signs. They point us in particular directions. If we have sadness again and again and again, these stuck emotions, this tells us that we might be heading in the wrong direction in terms of our behaviors and our beliefs and our attitudes. So stuck emotions are very, very telling. How would you know that you've got these repeated stuck emotions if you never get to this emotionally feeling place? You also could call this stage three emotional acceptance, in a sense. I begin to accept my feelings, and I begin to realize maybe there's something that I can learn from these feelings. And this is where we start to go into the final stage. As we leave sort of the adolescent suppression stage and we get into this emotional feeling stage, we then can transition into the final stage, which is the emotional control stage. This is when we start to understand and see other people's emotional volatility as well as our own and begin to recognize it. We begin to see other people's emotional suppression as well as our own and begin to recognize it. And we begin to see that emotional integrity is important and recognize that. And we start to understand that even when we are feeling things, just because we are feeling things, we have to express things when it is appropriate. And we don't always need to tell other people about our emotions. Maybe it's got nothing to do with them. Maybe it's something that I need to deal with myself. We become simultaneously vulnerable, open to expressing things, but also emotionally selective, meaning that we don't always have to share things. And this is a very important thing here because, of course, many of you who follow self-help and New Age talk, and you know, one of my absolute favorite researchers in this area who's coined the term vulnerability, really, that we are all using is Brené Brown. And if you look at this, one of the things that happens oftentimes when I'm talking to people is this idea of, well, can't vulnerability be way too much? It certainly can. There's a time and a place for being vulnerable. So I oftentimes say, let's be open and authentic, right? This is what vulnerability isn't, just spewing your emotions all of the time. That's more emotional feeling and emotional volatility. Vulnerability is being open to. I'm open to having the discussions, but I don't feel compelled to have the discussions. I'm vulnerable and I'm emotionally selective, right? And I'm really good now at authentic communication. And one of the things that happens here is this distinction between my emotions and your emotions. And this is where why I wanted to have the empath conversation ahead of time, because for some reason people say, well, empathic, being an empath is maybe the last stage because it's seen as some good thing. Well, think about it. If you're an empath and you are constantly taking on other people's emotions and making it about yourself, then you're stuck in either the emotional volatility, the emotional suppression, you're stuck in a lower phase. Being an empath and not being able to deal with other people's feelings and or making those feelings about you and feeling them themselves is actually a dysfunction. Being in emotional control means I will choose to take on your emotions or not. Being at the whims of other people's emotions is not a good thing. That is not a mature thing. So being empathic in the sense that people use it, like I'm an empath, is not really where we want to be, at least not in the sense of we want to be able to feel other people's emotions, but not let them hijack us. So it's a subtle difference there. So I think it's important that when we say we're an empath or someone says they're an empath, which we all are, so it's kind of an obvious pet peeve of mine when people say that, because I'm like, I don't know exactly what that means. We're all empaths, but it is a useful discussion for us to have with ourselves. If we're people who, if we label ourselves an empath, then we say, well, what kind of empath am I? Am I an emotionally volatile empath, an emotionally suppressed empath, or am I an emotionally feeling empath? Or am I an empath who's in emotional control, who can feel what other people feel and say those feelings lie with them and I'm not going to be hijacked by those feelings? So being in emotional control, this stage four, is situationally appropriate and also person specific. Essentially says, I have my emotional landscape and you have yours. I can choose to help you with yours, but I will not let yours become mine. So in a sense, there's emotional boundaries with people who have emotional control. And then the final thing I'll say here, as you get to this final sort of understanding about emotions, is to realize that we as humans are both feeling slash intuitive and thinking slash rational, and that the feeling and intuitive and thinking rational work together. They are not opposites, they are synergist. If you are nothing but thinking and rational, you are not going to really be able to benefit and sort of have an understanding or the learning that comes along with the feeling. Feelings are all about memories and understanding and direction, right? Feelings come from our old stories and beliefs, and those old stories and beliefs oftentimes come from what happened to us. So this is another reason why we need emotional control, to say I can use that emotion or not necessarily use that emotion. And as we become sort of merging thinking and sort of feeling or intuition with reason and rationality, we start to be able to be very mature in our actions and very effective in our relationships and in how we approach the world. For example, we at this stage, once we start to merge emotional sort of intuition with sort of rational and reasoned thinking, now we can feel an emotion and begin to use that emotion. For example, let's go through the breakup scenario, which all of us would have had in our lives, where we've been rejected by someone. At first, there's sort of this shock, right? And then there's sort of this emotional volatility and confusion. I want to hold on. I don't want to let go. Your safety and your certainty is sort of, infringed upon. So you can go very base level and become very emotionally sort of volatile. Or you maybe go into that teenager state and you shut down, or maybe you go into that emotional feeling state and you're being overly needy and overly expressive and pushing sort of the person sort of further away. So you go through this sort of emotional sort of upset, and it does depend a lot on, your attachment style and all these kinds of things. Like, are you an anxious attachment style? Then maybe you're going to be anxiously anxiety ridden with your emotional volatility. Are you an avoidant attachment style? Maybe you're going to go into the teenage sort of emotional suppression state where you sort of push people away and sort of keep them at a distance. Are you sort of more anxious and go into the more feeling state and you're more expressive? However you manifest that, one of the things you want to do in this last stage is realize what I call emotional alchemy. Obviously, alchemy is the idea that you can take the old idea of you take lead and you can turn it into other precious metals. Now, obviously, that never happened, but an alchemist is really taking one thing and turning it into something more useful or better. So as we go through an emotional breakup, let's say, and we go through this emotionally volatile state, and then we settle on sadness and sort of loss, the idea is that an emotionally controlled person will feel that sadness, will be in their emotional integrity and authentically communicate that and be emotionally selective about it. They're not just going to be sad everywhere. They know that's not going to be appropriate to be breaking down and crying and eating pints of Ben and Jerry in the middle of a work day, right? So they're going to be situationally appropriate and emotionally selective. They're also, if that emotion stays stuck, they're going to realize it and essentially say, emotions are not meant to be lived like this. They're only meant to be felt. I'm going to have to be able to use this emotion. Well, how do you use sadness? Well, I can be an emotional alchemist and try to turn that sadness into anger. And oftentimes, as you go through a breakup, that happens anyway. The last phase is sort of this anger phase, which a lot of people see as a bad phase, but it's actually a good phase because sadness is more of a stuck emotion. Anger is a more movement-oriented emotion. And I can turn sadness into anger. And then I can use that same alchemy to turn anger into motivation. And that can move me to start to take care of myself and focus on myself and you know, start to essentially say and resolve and resign myself that I'm not going to be with someone who doesn't want to be with me. And I like who I am. And or if I don't like who I am and I learn some good lessons in that relationship, then I'm going to take it upon myself and motivate myself to get healthier, to do my four jobs better, to do my health and fitness. You know, we all oftentimes laugh. I always oftentimes say, oh, you know, with some of my friends, I'm like, this is good for you. You're on the breakup diet. It's the most effective diet on the planet because all of a sudden you are now focused on your four jobs and not someone else's four jobs. You got more energy to devote to yourself. So your health and fitness, you get motivated to be more healthy and fit. You get motivated to save sort of your finances. You start to look at different ways to develop meaning in your life because one of your sources of meaning is gone. And maybe you even go deeper into sort of purpose, right? And, you know, of course, your personal relationships change. Maybe you're spending more time with family and different friends, but you're motivated to do something different because you've learned this this emotional alchemy. So the whole point of these four sort of rubrics or this sort of stepwise emotional journey I'm taking you from is to understand where you are as a base level, culture level, or next level human. A next level human spends more time in emotional control and much, much less time in base level volatility or culture level suppression. And has transcended this need for this, you know, sort of overly emotional, gushy, needy sort of place and is now in a very good sort of place. And actually, Stoicism, which many of you who listen to this podcast know I'm a huge fan of, Stoicism really is the perfect embodiment of emotional control. Stoics didn't say don't feel. So it's not, Stoicism is not emotional suppression. Stoicism is not stage four. Stoicism are stage two. It's mainly stage four. It's emotional control. Stoicism says you don't live your emotions, you feel them. You don't let the emotions control you. You use the emotions as fuel for change, as fuel for growth, as direction to tell you what you're doing right in your life and what you're not doing right in your life. So yes, there's incredible wisdom in emotions, which is why we're even having this discussion. They point you in directions. Stuck emotions, repeated patterns, recurrent obstacles in your life are telling you you are heading in the wrong direction. That's why I say they're road signs. Does that mean you're always going to feel good? No. Sometimes that you have that thing where you're a little bit fearful, but you feel in your heart that it's good for you. And then when you use your thinking brain and your rational brain and you say, well, I've done this before and it's never worked. I've never done this. And you think it out and you say, I'm going to go in this direction and be sort of very evidence-based. I'm going to change my behaviors because those old behaviors and those are associated with those old feelings. And if I do things this way, these new behaviors, maybe I'll start to, you know, experience, you know, sort of new emotions that spur new growth and new beliefs. And this is how we grow. And so being in tune with these different stages is very, very important in my mind. Now, one of the things that, you know, people oftentimes ask when we have discussions around emotions is they're like, well, what about people who have mood issues and things like that? Like, you know, some people who are stuck in sadness because of the biochemistry or tend to be more anxious. This is a difficult thing to deal with because some of the emotions can be learned and they also can just be straight biochemistry. And actually, you can't really tease these things apart because there's an old saying in neurology, brain cells that fire together, fire together, wire together. And so in a sense, it's very difficult to know which came first, the chicken or the egg. But there are different things that you can do about this. Actually, one of my favorites is a CBD. CBD is one of these things that rather than giving you a drug that works on one sort of aspect of neurochemistry, something like a cannabinoid, like cannabidiol from marijuana or hemp, is basically something that can really help the brain be a little bit more plastic. It's almost like an adaptogen in that sense. There are also other supplements that you can, a brain adaptogen in that sense. There are also other supplements associated with mood. Vitamin D is associated with mood. Good quality fish oils are associated with mood. And so absolutely there are things that you can do here. But one of the reasons I'm bringing this up is because people oftentimes use these outside sources to try to move the brain and instead of realizing that if they can just have awareness around what stage they're stuck in and realize that emotions are pointing them in a direction that are road signs, and start to behave and realize that emotions are attached to old behaviors, beliefs, and values, you can then have some control about the different behaviors, beliefs, and values that you're going to have moving forward, so that when you change those behaviors, those beliefs, and those values, that emotional state that you've been stuck in can also change. And yes, if you add in something like CBD, which, by the way, one of my favorites, and I should mention here Cured Nutrition, which is the CBD company I personally use every single day, is now a sponsor of the show. I obviously love what they do and have used it myself, mainly for sleep, but Cured Nutrition CBD, their Zen, I use that for sleep. They have several different CBD products that can be very powerful in helping us manage some of these stuck emotional sort of states. And you'll hear me mention more about Cured Nutrition and CBD in many different capacities, but it certainly is applicable to this discussion. Just don't make the mistake of doing what a lot of people do in the natural medicine world of thinking, oh, I'm just going to take some tyrosine to raise dopamine, or I'm going to take some 5-HTP, to raise serotonin, or I'm going to take some GABA to relax me, and not do the work and the awareness around where you are in these four different emotional states and how to begin to use emotions in a more alchemical way to understand that it's giving you direction. Stuck emotions are not normal. You should not be there. And you can use your old stories, your behaviors, your values, your beliefs to essentially check in and say, am I in a good state here? Am I making progress, or am I stuck in this lower vibe, base level, culture level sort of place? And then, of course, once you have that awareness and begin that process of analysis, then you can use things like CBD or tyrosine or serotonin or some of the herbs like St. John's wort and those kinds of things, or even some of the drugs, but you don't want to be reliant on those. So I'm going to stop the discussion here today. I hope you enjoyed this. I get a lot of feedback from all of you in terms of what you've been missing. As you know, we've been doing a lot of politics lately and things like that. Make sure you hit me up, DM me, share this. Please go online and give a thumbs up, 5-star rating on iTunes. That's can be very, very helpful in spreading the word. And tell me what you want to hear. I want to hear from all of you in terms of what do you want to see more of? This is one thing that a lot of you have been asking about. In fact, you're like, Jade, can you please give me more of the direct psychology stuff in Next Level Human, which I will try to do. So thank you so much, and I will see you at the next show.